types of organizational strategies. So now when we talk about organizational level strategies, they describe a company's overall direction in terms of its general philosophy towards the growth, whether you want to grow in the next 2 years or you want to just maintain and stabilize, watch the market, how it is happening, and then take a call. Or you want to completely break through and be a disruptor in the market. What is the general philosophy towards growth and management of its various units? So that is what is your organizational level strategy is all about. Now, here are some of the examples which are there, under organizational level strategies. So some organizations may go through a stability strategies, as I mentioned to you, that you just want to maintain the status quo. So no matter what it is, you do not want to reduce cost because that's something that you're doing. That's a status quotient that you've maintained for years. So hence you want to continue that. Okay. Then you want a sustainable growth. You do not want breakthrough growth, but you're only looking at sustainability. Okay. So you're just looking at stabilizing in the market for a period of time. So that's called as your stability strategy. So that's the strategy that you undertake. You undertake a growth strategy. Now, when you talk about growth strategy, you talk about the internal growth, you become very, very aggressive, you go through mergers, you go to takeovers, you take over suddenly. If you say, for example, you are a retail chain of stores which had 50 stores, and suddenly you take over one chain of grocery stores down in south, and you suddenly become, the next day you make an announcement saying that we have become 350 plus 300 stores which you have recently acquired. So if you're talking about growth, so immediately you see the tangible growth there. So it's called as your takeovers and your mergers, okay, acquisitions. Also talk about conglomerate diversification, vertical integration, joint ventures that you take with different brands. All these are your growth strategies. Then there is one which is your retrenched strategies. When the company is not going through well, there is a retrenchment, you reduce staff, you turn it around, you're actually going through a transformation where you hired consultants and you actually reduce your cost. Half of your organization has liquidated. All of these are your retrenchment strategies, which is more on downsizing size. Then the fourth one, which is your combination strategies. So in this, you talk about portfolio restructuring. Probably your product was something that was really, really relevant and attractive to customers probably 3 years back, but now it's not becoming as attractive. So hence what you're doing is you're restructuring the whole product. So you're restructuring your portfolios. So that could be one of the strategies which is called as your combination strategies. So these are the different types of organizational strategies that is being taken in the various organizations. Now comes your business level competitive strategies. Now here the main objective of a competitive strategy is of a business level strategy, which is to make the unit more competitive in the marketplace. So you ascertain, you do the marketplace assessment, and you make your product more competitive. You make it more sellable. Then your functional level strategies. Now these pertain to the major functional operations within the business unit, including your marketing, your manufacturing, your finance, and your human resources. So what are your functional level strategies that you're taking depending on what is it? So in a lot of organizations which are especially in the SME sector, I have seen a couple of organizations which have completely removed and outsourced the whole function of marketing and HR. They just have one spoke for each department to be able to coordinate with the external partners, and they are experts in nature. So hence the entire work, which was very, very routine and very, very, it's not leading to growth, and they need to really focus on growth right now. So hence what they did is they have outsourced these two departments completely. Not only I'm just giving these two examples, could be IT infrastructure. They have, a lot of organizations have given probably a banking or kind of a organization, they have outsourced the IT infrastructure completely to the third party. Okay, so those kind of functional level strategies are also taken by different organizations. Again, there is another eye-opening definition here. The field of strategic HRM is evolving. It's constantly evolving every now and then. And there is a very little agreement among scholars regarding an acceptable definition. So nobody has been able to get into one final definition. Okay, so hence it links corporate strategy and human resource management and emphasizes that the integration of HR is with the business and its environment. So hence the whole concepts of BHR, strategic HR, business process HR, these kind of terminologies you must have seen in the recent updates, not only in the pandemic, but before that last 10 years, we have seen a huge transition here. Okay, earlier it was an HR manager only, recruitment, when you talk about HR, people used to think about just recruitment, selecting and putting them together in the right place, right? So hiring the right person in the right job. But HR now does, in today's context, does much more than all this. Now, we've already understood the process of strategic HRM. So let's understand it further in detail. So with the aim and the significance and the importance of SHRM. What is the aim of strategic human resource management? The fundamental aim of strategic human resource management is to generate the strategic capability by ensuring that the organization has skilled employees, they're engaged enough, they're motivated enough, and to be able to achieve the sustained competitive advantage. So when you know that there is an end in mind, very, very clearly articulated by the organization, you need to, as an aim of strategic HR, you need to ascertain whether you have the, your organization has, your teams have the capability of the organization has the teams which are skilled enough, engaged enough, they are constantly contributing, they're well motivated by every day, you know, it's not that there are spikes happening every day contributing and towards achieving the competitive advantage. So are we able to, so that's the aim of strategic human resource management, that constantly they have to be on the scout of assessing whether we are capable or not to be able to contribute to the organization goals at any point in time. Are we resourceful enough? Are we technologically adaptive enough? All of these needs to be scrutinized all the time by the strategic HR. What is the significance of HRM now? The significance, obviously, all of us are aware, it's about the staffing the organization, building teams, effective teams, developing the skills of the resources that we have, identifying different approaches to performance and customer retention, and rewarding the employees, all of that. These are all equally critical for line managers as they are for the HR managers. Hence, it has to be cascaded appropriately. It cannot be just one activity which has been run by the HR alone. Okay, so it has to be, all these factors needs to be taken into shoulders by the line managers as well. Okay, so hence the responsibility does not only lie with the HR managers, but with the business as well. Organizations achieve competitive advantage through SHRM for these particular reasons. So if you look at it one by one, strategic human resource management encourages proactive rather than reactive behavior. Proactive means when you take you wait and watch what it is and you take an appropriate action for it and then take a call. Reactive, you do not do anything. You immediately, the moment you see the market is happening, so there is a threat, you immediately respond to it. So SHRM will always encourage proactive rather than the reactive behavior within the organization, which means amongst the resources of the organization, amongst the staff of the organization, amongst the people of the organization. So gaps between the current situation and a vision for the future are constantly being focused on. What is it that we want to achieve? If I continue to use the same example which I took earlier, that 3x in 3y, if you are looking at 3x and we are looking at 3 times the business in 3 years, what is the gap? Are we at good enough at 1x right now, or are we below that, or are we ahead of that? So you have to constantly keep ascertaining the gaps between the current and the focused vision. The third one, human resource opportunities and constraints are identified in implementing the strategic plans. So all the different kinds of opportunities which are intangible, which are so constantly you have to be on the lookout for this. You have to constantly be aware of the opportunities that you are subjected to all the time, the constraints, that the limitations that you are going through in the current role, in the current strategic plan of HR that you have. Now, HR's role as a strategic partner. Now, as I mentioned to you, that you are more of a business partner than an HR alone. Okay, so hence the role of HR is more like a strategic partner. So as a strategic partner, what is it that you do? HR's long history as a staff or advisory function has been responsible for its reputation, either as an operational function or as an adaptive function. What to do? This is what originally or traditionally our HR has been projected as. It has always been, has got the name as being the advisor or a department which is responsible for, you know, for placing the right staff at the right position. And so hence it has been always projected like that. Okay, so hence it is more now to look at from the business perspective, and the lens has completely gone through a lot of revolution. HR tends to have their greatest impact on executing a company's plans. Okay, so organization plan, not HR plan alone. So a lot of organizations, what happens is a lot of businesses look at HR in such a way that they say that, okay, you know what, if there is a survey which needs to be done, and they just look at it as a burden. And they do not look at it as an organizational drive. Unless and also hence, because most of it earlier, it has been HR doing alone. It was not in collaboration with the business. So hence, the whole concept of co-creating any kind of objective, co-creating any kind of interventions, and any kind of initiative is always consulted with business partner. And that's where it has become stronger now. This is how it has been looked at now. So hence, the HR's role right now is more of a partner in place. Okay, so they tend to have greater impact on executing a company plans, but however, opportunity exists there, you know, exists for their greater involvement in strategy formulation. So what they do is they rather get into probably execution mode a lot, and they dirty their hands and they do a lot of follow up and they get the work done. However, there is a huge opportunity which has been observed industry wide, that there are a lot of opportunity that's required where HR needs to partner at the stage of formulation of the strategy. So which means formulation, and during the time of formulation as well, the HR should be considered, or HR should be a co-creator in that. Not only that, you know, senior management or the business heads have taken the decision and then it has been just delegated it to HR to kind of roll it out. It shouldn't be like that. So the partnership should exist from the time of formulation of the strategy. Traditionally, execution has been the core of HR strategic role to support its competitive. All of us know that, right? Because the instructions or the strategy come from top, and then we have been given instructions that this is what we need to look at in the next 1 year or in the next 6 months. This is what is the initiative, and HR goes and gets down into the pool, and then they start working on it and gets it done. So a different company with a different competitive strategy might have a different approach to HR. Now, a different company, when they have a different insight altogether, may have a slightly different approach to HR. But HR will definitely support strategy implementation in many different ways. And now we talked about HR's role in executing the strategy. Now we are talking about HR's role in formulation of strategy. Now, formulating a strategic plan requires identifying, analyzing, and balancing the company's external opportunities and threats and its internal strengths and weaknesses. So this is what is most important here. So while formulation of your strategy, if the HR is partnering and HR is contributing from that time, so how do you kind of work around that? So formulation of strategic plan will require identifying, analyzing, and balancing the external opportunities which are there. Opportunities and threats, as I mentioned to you earlier also, that opportunities and threats are not visible and they are very, very external in nature. And it's you have to constantly do surveys, assessments, and all of that to be able to identify those. And also, at the same time, keep a watch on the strengths and the weaknesses of your internal resources and processes. Yeah, so knowledge of how brands are sorted among sales divisions and who reports to whom, what can give better competitor edge, all these needs to be constantly among. So you need to also be partnering into this. Okay, so you need to have knowledge on, so if you're expecting yourself to be a part of the formulation strategy, you need to be aware of all of this, that if what kind of cross-functional collaborations can we do, what kind of job shifts can we do, what kind of raw job redesigns can we do, so that, you know, we can change the hierarchy a bit and we can give important clues as to competitors' strategic priorities. So these are the different approaches to SHRM. It has to be a resource-based approach. It cannot be just a straightforward, straight-jacketed, just because the senior management felt like. We need to completely understand whether it is we are using a resource base for that approach that we are going to embark on. We need to understand whether it is a strategic fit, whether it is coming from the top or is it something that we ourselves are initiating it. It has to be high performance management. It has to be high commitment management. And it also has to be high involvement management. So these are some of the approaches to SHRM that organizations have. Okay, so it could be high performance management where you know the whole organization is, the whole management is up for performance. They are involved, they're giving high commitment to it, and you're together disseminating the whole performance at the org level. Okay, so these are the different approaches that are being administered in HSRM. Now let's understand each and every approach in detail. A fundamental aim of resource-based HR strategy, as described by Barney, indicates that to develop strategic capability, achieving strategic fit between human resource and opportunities, and adds value from the effective deployment of human resources. So what is it that we do here? Okay, so what is it that the main aim that it talks about when you talk about the resource-based approach? So Barney describes that to develop strategic capability, you need to achieve strategic fit between human resource and the opportunities, which will actually add value. Okay, and how will you do that? So you need to understand what is the strength, what is the current human resource looks like? What are the resources that you have? What are the strengths and weaknesses of your internal resources vis-a-vis what are the opportunities that are lying outside? Okay, and you need to map the distance between the two. If you feel that yes, our resource is strong enough to be able to give a competitive advantage to what do the opportunities outside, it's well and good enough. You need to strengthen that further. But if you feel that yes, we are lacking behind, either you have to really put interventions together to improve that and bridge the gap, or else you have to hire specialists from outside to be able to mitigate those risks towards opportunities. Now, what do you mean by strategic fit? The HR strategy should be aligned to the business strategy, as we have been mentioning. It's also called as your vertical fit, contributing to the business planning process. And hence, this whole concept of SHRM has come into being, that we need to be business partnering. So hence, your strategy should be aligned. You cannot have multiple small strategies devised within HR. It has to, so each and every strategy that you put together has to link to the business objectives of the organization. Okay, so hence it has to branch it from the business planning process itself. What do you mean by high performance management? Now, high performance management will always aim to make an impact on the performance of the company through its people, right? So you always want constant progress, constant monitoring on your progress of your employees, of your people. So you want to reach the business objective, you want to achieve the business objective using your people. Okay, so that's your high performance management and high commitment management, which means a form of management which aims to elicit a commitment so that behaviors are self-regulated. And rather than, you know, with lot of means and pressure, you are implementing those. And if at all you do not follow this, there will be a penalty, there will be a, pay cut, there would be a reflection on your performance appraisal. All those control measures does not need to be put in place. A high commitment management will always have this, the self-regulation of their behaviors right from the beginning, whether or not the control measures have been put. Okay. The relations within the organizations are based on high levels of, here the relations are completely based on the trust levels of different managers. Okay, so you do not have control mechanisms to put this together. High involvement management. Now, high involvement, this involves treating employees as partners. You're not treating employees saying that, you know, you're just one brick in the whole wall. Okay, you're not considering that. You're considering them as partners in crime. That if you are growing, you're growing. If you're going through a loss, you're going through a loss as well. Okay, so that's when the employees also will have a mutual understanding, saying that, and shared values, saying that yes, we are growing together. Okay, so this approach involves treating employees as partners in the enterprise whose interests are respected. Whatever you say, they are respected. It cannot be done just from top-down approach. And employees are always having a voice on the matters that concern to them. Say, for example, they said, okay, we will make it 6 days working to be able to scale up now that slowly organizations are, you know, pacing up speed. They said, okay, now the organization has made a mandate saying that, you know, now that we all are back to office, all of us are vaccinated, we have taken a drive and all our 200 employees are being vaccinated. And we ensure that also we are helping you travel. We are giving you some, to be able to, for so that you're able to manage your costs well. We are also helping you that. So, but what we are doing is, one caveat that I would like to put as a management is that we would start working instead of 5 days, we are going to move to 6 days week work. So if at all these things are taken care of and the management is making it very clear as in and showing in the outcome, saying that why is it that we are moving from 5 to 6 days? This is what is the end in mind that we have for the next 2 fiscal years. And in order to do that, we are only at this percentage. Do you think you want to grow within the, if we as partners want to grow along with the organization, we have to pace it up. So employees join hands, they mutually agree, said that, okay, fine, I have seen so many of my clients have actually achieved this. And they have high involvement of people, okay, and they agree to it and they see that, yes, things are moving the way the management wanted it to be in direction. That's the same direction. So, okay, now we have understood this. Now we need to understand what are the limitations to the concept of SHRM. So these are the limitations that we have. Okay. So when we talk about the business strategy, you are surrounded by an internal and an external environment, right? And you also have an overall HR strategy, which comprises and which mitigates all kinds of risks and threats and also bridge gaps between, opportunities by having an overall HR strategy. So HR strategy would comprise of your resourcing strategy, whether you want to go gung-ho about hiring laterals or you want to grow your, you go heavy on succession planning and create your internal pool of talent, or HR development, HRD strategy. What is the reward and recognition process that you have built? What is it that as a strategy you want? You want to go completely R&R annual, 6 months or quarterly, or maybe as and when employee relations strategy. So all these are your HR, overall HR strategy, which comprises of this. So this is, you need to understand. So there are certain limitations. Strategic fit is a good idea, but it is difficult to attain. It is not so easy as we say. Strategic HRM is an attitude of mind that expresses a way of doing things. It is not just, you know, some set of policies that you put together and immediately people start working on it. It's not that. It's a complete mindset that we are working on. So it's a complete mindset which expresses the way they want to do things. Thank you so much.